Well, in Jesus' name, it is good to be here again this morning to worship together. Feels good to be back in this meeting house after being scattered around a little bit. You can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 for a message this morning. My mind was going along some of the same paths as Brother Richard's devotional, with being at a family gathering this week and four generations represented there. And hearing stories from years ago, my mind went to the subject of faith. And obviously Hebrews is a book we often look to when we're thinking about faith. But I want to start reading from chapter 10, start reading in verse 36 for a text verse this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So, as Brother Richard shared in our devotional this morning, there's a lot of things in the world around us that are scary, that we're not sure how it's going to work out, but we are to be people of faith. We are to, the verse 38 says here, "The just shall live by faith." This idea of living by faith inspired me as I thought about that this past week. When we live by something, the word "by" there, it's we live according to it, or it's a guide for us. Some of those that work with me on a daily basis know one of my favorite sayings when we're facing a situation is, "Well, we'll just cross that bridge when we get there." And it's sort of just an idea that, well, we're going to take it as it comes. We'll figure it out as we go. And faith is a little bit that way. It's a lot deeper than that. We're going to look at that. But we just don't know. We can't see very far into the future. We don't know how things are going to work out. But we can live by faith. And we have a lot of stories from our parents and our grandparents and those who have gone before us. And even this book contains a lot of stories. We're going to look at some of those this morning, of how God was faithful to people. And it gives us courage to keep on going. Well, first of all, what is faith? If you look it up in Webster's, it says firm belief in something for which there is no proof. I don't like that definition very well, but it's the one that Webster's gives us. So this morning, if you think about how faith is central to our meeting this morning, we got together this morning to worship, and there's really no proof here. This morning, there's nothing physical that we can see with our eyes that represents what we are worshiping. So faith is foundational to our worship service here this morning. And I thought about the songs we just sang as we were singing them. Is that the lights of home? Well, that's an expression of faith, isn't it? Well, we don't see lights, but we're expressing faith. How about the song Perfectly Broken? Perfectly broken, this is God's plan, perfectly broken by an unseen hand. Those are expressions of faith that we just often breeze over and don't think about. But we're connecting it to something deeper. We're going to look at that here a little bit this morning. So life can have a lot of twists and turns. There's difficulties and complexities that life brings. And there's just a lot of unknowns. And we face forks in the road often in our lives of how we're going to handle a situation. When we come to a situation, are we going to choose the path of fear and anxiety and frustration and asking, why would God allow something like this to happen to me? God, what are you trying to do to me? Or the other path is living by faith. And that's an anchor for our soul. And faith becomes the foundation. And when we face these difficult situations in life, we keep pressing on. And we surrender ourselves to the will of God. We put our lives in God's hands, like the song says we just sang. And we trust Him to bring into our lives what is best for me. So you think about the two different views here. One is life is happening to me. And the other one is the path of faith is life is happening for me. God is accomplishing His will in my life. It can be hard to accept that sometimes when we're right in the middle of a tough situation. But lack of faith, or unbelief, as we call it, says that God and life are out to get me. But faith says I place myself in the care of the Almighty and I'm going to rest there. That's what faith does. And our text verse says this is the way the just live. They live by faith. That is how they proceed in life. That is how they view life. That is their understanding of how life works. It is faith in God. They live by faith. So let's just think about the opposite of that for a few minutes. And that the opposite of faith is obviously unbelief. I'd like to read a story. If you're still in Hebrews, turn back to chapter 3. And this is a recap of a story of some people who did not have faith. It's a story from the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 3, and start reading in verse 12, and we'll read through verse 19. It says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." So we talked about faith this morning and how our prayers need to be heard. We need to be righteous. The writer of Hebrews here is calling us to away from an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." So we see the seriousness of unbelief, of not having faith in God. They had been miraculously brought out of Egypt. They had been brought through the Red Sea on dry land. They were provided for miraculously in the wilderness. And when it came time to come up to that Jordan River and go across and go into the promised land, out of all those people, there was two men who were men of faith and said, "Yes, we can do it." But these people who were of unbelief, they did not see what all God had done for them. They instead saw the giants. They saw the high walls around the cities. They saw their own limitations. And even though Joshua and Caleb says, "We can conquer this in the power of the Lord," they turned back. God was ready to help them to be victorious, but they turned back and they were not able. And it says that God was grieved. Or if you look up that word in Strong's, it means he was vexed. He was upset. It was a bother to him that he had tried to help them along, and then when it came right down to go time, they had just turned around and walked back. It was a frustration to him. We can be that same way, can't we? We've seen God work time and time again, but we still have trouble just giving it over to God in faith and allowing Him to lead us. How often do we limit God's working in our life because of our lack of faith, because of our unbelief? Matthew 13, verse 58 says this, and He, talking about Jesus, "did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So unbelief limits what God can do in our lives. So faith is the foundation for the interaction with God. Now turn over a couple pages to Hebrews chapter 11 again, and I want to read the first two verses and also verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance," I like that word there, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Let's just skip down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the foundation of interaction with God is faith. Faith is that substance or that unseen support. And it says here in verse 1 that it's the evidence. It's the facts. It's the when there's evidence around a crime scene, it's the proof that it happened. That's what faith is, even though it's unseen. So these verses are the backdrop for the foundation of the stories that we're so familiar with here in chapter 11. It was faith that made Noah hear that voice of God and to go out and to actually cut down trees and bring those trees in and cut them into logs and build that ark. It was faith that made Abraham pack up and head for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. It was faith that drove him to do that, faith in God. It was faith that made Abraham get up early in the morning and take the wood and the fire and his son and start on that journey up the mountain to offer his son as a sacrifice because God asked him to do that. It was faith that motivated that. And these men that we read of here in chapter 11, the heroes of faith we call them sometimes, it was because they lived by faith. That was their pattern in their life, was they were men of faith. They were men who gave God the steering wheel and said, God, you're in control. You drive. I'm going to follow. That's hard for us to do, but it's the only way to live by faith. This morning, I'd like to look at 3 points on faith, on living by faith. The first one is living by faith opens our eyes. And sometimes when we're in doubt about something, we'll say, I will believe it when I see it. We have those instances. I'll believe it when I see it. But faith is the opposite of that. Faith is saying, I can't see it, but I believe it. And when we step out in faith, there's something very exciting that happens. When we believe, then we can start to see. Someone else said it this way: faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. I'll just read that again. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. So faith opens our eyes so that we can see these realities. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Thinking about living by faith opens our eyes. Romans chapter 1, start reading in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We'll just read verse 21 as well. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So there's people who cannot see who God is because they don't have faith. They don't believe that God is. And so the things even in creation that point to a creator, that those of us who are people of faith, we look at those same things and say, yes, there's a God because of this or that. There's people that overlook those details because, first of all, they don't have that foundation of faith. Their eyes aren't even open to it. And then their hearts are darkened and they become blind. So the invisible things are clearly seen by faith. In our eyes of flesh, we can't see very well. Yes, we can see the physical things around us. Maybe some of us even need some corrective lenses. But our eyes are limited in what they see. Talking about our physical eyes. They can only see what's happening around me in the physical world. I can't see into the spiritual world with these eyes or even into the future at all. But we have to have eyes of faith that can make these invisible things visible. I brought a set of my binoculars along this morning. Sometimes we use some additional help. When we want to see something that's far away, we can look through a pair of binoculars, and that which is kind of fuzzy and far away can be brought up to the point where we can see it a little bit better. That's physical. What we're talking about here is a spiritual eyesight that's opened up through the eyes of faith. Let's again go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be spending the rest of our time there this morning in Hebrews 11. These verses stood out to me as I was thinking about faith. We could look at all of this chapter. We're not going to. I just want to pull out one character, and that's the character of Moses. Let's start reading in Hebrews 11, verse 24, and let's read through verse 27, thinking about living by faith and how living by faith opens our eyes, opens our understanding. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, and this is the phrase that caught my attention, as seeing him who is invisible. What or who did Moses see that was invisible? So this is a kind of a recap on Moses' life. We're going to look at some of these verses later, but what did Moses see here? He had these eyes of faith. And what did he see? I think he saw God Almighty. He saw creator of the universe. He saw the one who's in the driver's seat, as we say. And he recognized there's someone in control of my life. There's someone larger than me, larger than who I am. And it's someone who's larger than and greater than King Pharaoh. He knew forsaking Egypt would bring on him the wrath of the king. But it says here he saw beyond that. He saw past the king in front of him. He saw to one who was invisible. Can we say it like this? Faith is having our spiritual eyes opened. That's what faith is. I like how Job said it in Job 42, verse 5. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. When Job and God were having this interchange about, hey, who's in control here anyway? Or God was asking some hard questions of Job, and Job said, I can't answer them. And after all of that, Job's testimony was, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. The eye of faith was opened up, and he could see who God was. I, of course, thought about the story in 2 Kings when Elisha was telling the king of Israel the next move of the king of Syria. And the king of Syria, he became frustrated with that. He said, we have to get that Elijah and get rid of him if we're going to ever conquer the Israelites. So they came with their horses and chariots, and they came around Dothan, and they surrounded Dothan. And Elisha's servant woke up early the next morning, and he went out, and he saw this horses and chariots all around them. And he came to Elisha and he said, alas, my master, how shall we do? Elisha, the servant, couldn't see past that circle of horses and chariots. That was the biggest thing in his life right then. He couldn't see past it. And I'm sure that Elisha's response dumbfounded the servant because he said to his servant, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You can just imagine the look on the servant's face when he's standing there, him and Elisha, and they're looking at all these chariots, and they're not sure what he's not sure what to do next. And Elisha says, just relax. There's more here with us than is out there. And then Elisha prays, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And then the servant's eyes were opened, and he looked, and he saw the mountains were full of fiery horses and chariots. His spiritual understanding was opened up, and he could see the conflict that was happening there. His eyes were opened, and he could see it. Also thought about Nicodemus. His faith was beginning to bloom, but he had some questions. He wasn't sure how this was all going to play out. But in faith, he comes to Jesus. He comes to him, even though it was at night. His faith was maybe, we could say, small or weak. But he came to Jesus, and he wanted to know something. And Jesus told him in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we could take this maybe in two different ways, but how I want to look at that this morning is that until we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God even around us today. Our spiritual eyes are closed to that. But when we step out in faith and we accept Christ as our Savior, there's an understanding that opens up in our hearts, and we begin to see the spiritual realities around us. So in the beginning of this point, we said that we often say we have to see it to believe it. Faith is the opposite of that. Believing is seeing. And Lord, open our eyes. We can pray that. Lord, open our eyes to the spiritual realities around us. To help me to see what you're asking of me in my life. Help me to step out in faith. Lord, open my eyes to see those things. So living by faith opens our eyes. Number two is living by faith dictates our values. If you're still open here to Hebrews chapter 11, let's look back at verse 24 through 26. There's language here that Moses, it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. These are fruits of values. And our faith dictates our values. This may be a poor example, but I brought a checkbook along this morning. The value of this check is based solely on faith. If I buy something from Brother Tim and I write him a check, and if he accepts that check from me as payment for whatever it is, he is simply placing faith in me and my bank, that I have the funds to back up this check and that the bank has the funds to, again, distribute to him. So faith dictates our values. Sometimes we, in business, we'll get a check and we just don't have a lot of faith in that person. Maybe we'll just go straight to the bank with it and try to cash it in right away. But our faith dictates our value, the value we place in something. So these fruits here from Moses' life portray what his value was. The first one was identity. Verse 24 says, "By faith Moses refused," or means to contradict, or to deny, or reject, "to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Who would not want to be the grandson of the king of a world power? Why would Moses not want to claim that identity? But Moses refused that identity because through faith, he placed a higher value on identifying with the people of God, even though it cost him this position of power, of prestige, of wealth, of all of what Egypt represented. By refusing that, he turned his back on that and rejected that because of his value system, because of the faith that he had. Identity can be a pretty big deal to us sometimes. We want to be known as one of the top players. we like to be kind of stepped aside for and looked up to. And it's a temptation for us to carve out a little bit of space as our turf. But living by faith turns our back on that. We're pressing forward to another country, to another place. And our eye of faith, we press towards that. Living by faith calls us to that. The things here on this earth don't matter so much, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But living by faith also affects our choices. It says here that in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there's a lot of pleasures around us, and we have to make a lot of choices on what we're going to sip on, what we're going to feed on, and what we're going to take in. And when we live by faith, it's going to call us to some choices in life. And our value comes out in our choices, even if we'd rather that they didn't. But Moses had a choice to make. Was he going to enjoy everything that Egypt had to offer, all the pleasures? Or was he going to suffer with the people of God? And his values came out. Think back to Lot and Abraham. Their values came out. When Lot and Uncle Abram are standing there looking over that well-watered plain of Jordan and the city of Sodom sitting there, the green grass and the good water just sort of camouflaged that city of Sodom for Lot. Doesn't seem like he saw the danger there. And Abraham, though he wasn't perfect, he had faith that God was going to take care of him. And even though that his choice ended up being he was left with the rocky and maybe not so good ground for caring for sheep, he was okay with that choice because he had faith that God was going to keep his promise and that God was going to take care of him. Lot's values came out, and our values come out in our choices. And we see Moses here, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy everything that Egypt had to offer. The third one I see here is esteem. He esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Esteeming means to consider or account. We could even use the word tally here. The reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So in Moses' mind, there's an accounting going on here. He's adding up and he's subtracting, and he comes up with the sum that I'm going to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And Egypt had a lot of treasures. We know that. There was a lot of gold there. It was a very wealthy nation. But in Moses' eye of faith, in his living by faith, he esteemed that reproach of Christ better or of more value than what Egypt had to offer. Number three is living by faith starts small. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a number of men who were heroes of faith. These men who lived lives of faith. But their faith, there's a story that brings them into this chapter. It's not always so pretty. We could go back to the story of Moses back in Exodus. We could look at Abraham. We could look at stories from Noah's life. And everything is not always so pretty and glamorous. But these men had faith, and it started out small. I said we were going to stay in Hebrews. I do want to look up one more verse or set of verses in Mark yet. Mark chapter 9, the story of faith starting small and growing. Mark chapter 9. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I want to start reading in verse 14. Living by faith starts small. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Faith starts small and grows big. I brought some mustard seed this morning. There's a lot of them in this little container. It's one of the smallest seeds that there is. I think it's about 1 or 2 millimeters across. If I would hold it up here between my fingers, you couldn't even see it. And Jesus said, if we have faith like a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, be ye moved. This man came to Jesus. It's a very sad story. This man came to Jesus. He had a serious problem. His son had a demon, and it was destroying him, literally. He couldn't control himself. He was falling into the water. He was falling into the fire. He was falling down on the ground and hurting himself. He had a demon. He was possessed. He had complete control of his body. This boy went around foaming at the mouth and gnawing on things with his teeth. This spirit was intent on destroying this young boy's body. And this father was obviously grieved about this situation. And he'd come to the disciples, and he asked for their help, and they were not able to help him. And in desperation, he comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet in tears. And he begs Jesus to help him in this situation. Mark 9 records a different part of the story, a different snapshot of the story. You can turn there if you want to. I'm going to read a couple verses there. And the man explaining what was going on to Jesus, he says, And oft times it casteth into him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father and the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that, the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit came out of him. The story is a story of starting with a little bit of faith. This man came to Jesus with this problem that he couldn't take care of. And if you notice in the verses that I read, there was two ifs there. This man comes to Jesus and he said, If thou canst do anything, if you can truly do anything, please show compassion on us, on me and my son. And then Jesus turns that around and says, If thou canst believe all things are possible to him. There's two ifs there. And the father's response says that straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We don't know the background of this man, but he obviously had heard that Jesus and his disciples had healed some people because he came to them for help. And I'm impressed with how this man's faith began to bloom. Those small steps of faith. And as he began, his faith began to open up. As he began to see Jesus for who he was, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. It takes faith to ask for help with unbelief. But God can work with that. When we come to him in faith, he can work with that. Even though we have some doubts, even though we're not maybe where we should be in our faith, when we come to God and say, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief, God can work with that. Spurgeon said it this way, while men have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as they get a little faith, then they begin to be conscious of the greatness of their unbelief. I'll just read that again. While men have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as they get a little faith, then they begin to be conscious of the greatness of their unbelief. And I think that's what was happening here in this story. As this man's faith began to bloom, as he began to believe Jesus for who he was, he recognized how far short his faith really was. And then Jesus talks to the disciples. The disciples had tried to help this man, and they couldn't. And they asked Jesus why they couldn't. And he gave them two reasons. He said, because of your unbelief, and because this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. And here's this thought again of unbelief limiting the power of God. And prayer and fasting are expressions of faith. When we pray to God, it's an expression of faith. We're bowing down before an Almighty who has control of this situation, and we're asking Him to take control of it. It's an expression of faith. And when we fast and deny ourselves, it's connecting with God, who we cannot see. And here Jesus said that if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, it can move mountains. It can move mountains in our lives. Those things that are mountains to us. Maybe they're not mountains to other people. Maybe they're mountains that other people can't even see. But if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, it can remove mountains. Now, there's something interesting about faith in that Jesus said here that a little bit of faith can move a mountain. But when the disciples were out on the sea and the storm came up and they're in the boat and Jesus is sleeping and they begin to fear for their lives, Jesus stands up and says, O ye of little faith. I've been with you this long, and your faith is still this small. O ye of little faith. So these were people who had walked with Jesus. They had seen him. They had experienced his miracles. And then when they were in a situation, their faith was little. But to this man who had come to Jesus with this great need, and he had this small faith, God worked with that. Jesus worked with that and blessed this man in the healing of his son. Small faith can equal big results. In conclusion, I'd like to read two verses from 1 Corinthians 13. Some can probably recite these, but 1 Corinthians 13, the concluding thought here is that faith has a shelf life. I'm not always going to need to live by faith. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 and 13. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So this is in the context of talking about charity. But faith, we see through a glass darkly now. Even though we have spiritual understanding, there's still things we don't understand. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot there that we can't see yet. But there's a day coming when we'll no longer need to live by faith. Everything will be plain. Everything will be clear. And we'll understand. We'll be in the presence of God Himself, and we are looking forward to that time. So God help us as we live by faith on this journey of life. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we had to get together this morning and to worship. Lord, thank you that we can reach out to you by faith. And Lord, even if our faith is small, even if our faith is weak, you're willing to work with us there. You're willing to meet our needs. Lord, increase our faith. Give us courage. for the difficult battles we face in life. Lord, we don't all face the same thing. There's different things that we carry, Lord, and you know those things, and I pray you'd help us to reach out to you in faith and just give them over to you, give you control of our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have our spiritual understanding open, Lord. Help us to be born again so that we can see your kingdom here on this earth and to look forward to living with you in eternity. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.